I grew up in New York City. I graduated from City College in New York with a bachelor's in electrical engineering. Went to MIT, where I worked in their division of sponsored research in what's now called the Draper Laboratory. It was then called the Instrumentation Laboratory, on inertial guidance and navigation systems, stabilization systems for space vehicles. My first job was developing a system for a spy satellite. Back in those days, we weren't even allowed to say those words. To keep the camera always pointed at the Earth and not, you know, to drift off as the pendulum as it went around. Got a master's degree from MIT and joined Bell Laboratories. And while I was at Bell Laboratories, I was working in the area of the very first data communication systems over telephone lines. This was back in the late 50s. I joined Bell Laboratories in 1959, so it was late 50s, early 60s. And while I was doing that, I went to Brooklyn Poly part-time. Bell Laboratories gave us time off during the day if we wanted to pursue graduate studies, and I accumulated all the coursework that I needed and passed all my qualifying exams, and Bell Laboratories gave me a year off to work on my thesis at Poly, where I wrote a thesis on the work that I did at Bell Laboratories and data transmission over telephone lines. Got a PhD in 64. That was right at the point where the Bell system had been asked by NASA, the space agency, for assistance on the Apollo program. You either remember or read about the fact that President Kennedy in 1960 laid down this challenge of putting, in those days we said, a man on the moon in this decade. And after he was assassinated, President Johnson kept up that project. And NASA, this was a huge undertaking with a lot of little nitty-gritty pieces that needed to be done. I mean, to think of one thing, they had to develop a tractor that was big enough so that when they built, you know, assembled the rocket in the shelter of the launch building, they needed something that could move it along without it tipping over to the launch pad. And so they were daunted by this huge, complex program, and they asked themselves, who has ever done anything of this magnitude and this complexity before? And the answer they came up with was, well, the Bell system. So they asked AT&T to form this small advisory company in Washington, D.C. It was about 150 professionals and an additional 100 staff people, support people. And we were an advisory staff to NASA on all kinds of aspects of the space program, the Apollo program. I was there for about a year, and I was tempted away by an offer from a company in Washington, D.C. to head up. It was a big increase in responsibility to head up a group doing communications R&D that was, you know, government-funded. And so it was a foolish mistake. I left and discovered fairly quickly that I really didn't want to work in government-funded R&D, because it turned out that what you needed to do is take your most talented people and the people at the top of the organization, which is what I was hired to do, to bring in the contracts. Anybody could perform the contracts. The real important thing was bringing them in, and so for a year and a half I was a traveling salesman. I got to know places like Rome Air Development Center and Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and stuff like that, but it really wasn't what I wanted to do. And so after about a year and a half, I wanted to go back to Bell Labs. And fortunately, they took me back. And it was a very lucky break, because I ended up in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. I got put into this sleepy little backwater called mobile telephone. There were, at that time, very primitive mobile telephone systems operating at 150 megahertz and at 450 megahertz. And these only had 11 channels in the 150 and 12 channels in the 450, and they all couldn't be used in any one area because the different systems interfered with one another. So, for example, here in the New York area, Manhattan, Newark, White Plains, New York, Hempstead, Long Island, Bel Air, New Jersey, all interfered with one another. And so these 11 channels had to be parsed out, and Manhattan got three, which meant that in the entire New York City metropolitan area, New York City confines, rather, the five boroughs, you could place at most three telephone calls, and the fourth person wanting to make a call would be blocked. You'd get a little red light saying, well, the channels are busy, which, as you can imagine, happened all the time. And so there were, you could have three simultaneous conversations. There were about 300 people riding around with telephones in their cars, only three of whom could talk at any one time, and there were about 3,000 people on a waiting list. And even with 300 subscribers, you could not collect enough revenue to support the system, the cost of the system. So, in fact, the one at 150 was a money loser, and the one at 450, very few of the telephone companies actually implemented and built. And that was a state of affairs in the late 60s.